مساء الخير. عادة بيطلع
Good evening. Usually land, oil, real estate agents appear and disappear, but a station. My name is Sammy, and I have here a musical with the title Amaretta, the title The Station, which I like very much. I would like to tell you something about it, then you will hear some bits of it. The piece and music were written by Rahmani, the brothers Rahmani, and Feruz played the main part. In 1973, it was first performed at the Piccadilly Circus in Beirut, and then at the Damascus, at the International Damascus Fair Festival, it was performed. Omer and Kinan have pictures and letters which refer to a railway station as well, the Hejaz railway station. The first scene you will hear is also the beginning of the musical Amaretta. Feruz comes, the Havada is playing. Goes to a potato field and talks to Sado of the village. And there she wants to convince all inhabitants of the village that a railroad track will cross their fields.
Aya train.
Train is shmal. Mish hal mahatta?
La fi mahatta wala fi train.
Fi. Hal al mahatta.
Ya ammi ma fi sikki lil train. Ashu bdu yimshi?
Bizhar inna gharib.
Ana هيدي أرضي هون وإلي فيها من يوم ما خلقت
من يوم ما خلقت ومش عارف إنه هون المحطة مش شايف خط ترين روح اطلع
شو اسمك؟
اسمي وردي
يا وردي كيف بدي اطلع؟ أنا حافظ المطارح مغيبة مثل قصيدة
يمكن بهالشي؟
روحوا اطلعوا أنت شو قاعد تعمل هون والولاد عم بيلعبوا على سكة ترين؟
يا وردي فتشنا برا ما لقينا سكة في خطوط على التراب يمكن زيحهم ولد عم يلعب
شفت إنه في سكة؟ ها اسمها صفير ترين
هيدي الريح بتعمل هالصوت
الريح بتصير ترين
ايه من انا وصغير لليوم بسمع هالصوت ببعض الليالي اقولك شو ترين ليلي بيمرق وبيروح بيرجع يلم السكة وراه مثل شغيلتي المساحة
لا تروح بالخيال كتير مش كل مرة بيكون ترين مرات هوا ومرات ترين
وكيف بدي اعرفه
اذا وقف على المحطة بيكون ترين واذا ما وقف بيكون هوا مارق بهالسهل
رسالة كتب كينان.
Letter from Kinan. My discovery of the city center began after I moved to Germany in 2003 during the yearly visits that brought me back for a few weeks at a time. I began exploring those places I'd only ever before seen in passing through a car window, getting to know them in new and fit. The early afternoons were the favorite parts of my visits when the sun grew hot and the city's movement grew sluggish. When everyone retired indoors for a nap, I took the opportunity to slip away from the clamor of friends and family, setting out every day from our house at 2 o'clock and hailing a cab to take me to the city center. Hejaz station, please. Delighting in the sun seeds, which I usually missed so much when abroad, my daily adventure in the city would begin. The destination, the city's bookshops. The goal, to get my hands on old books and magazines. Lost in deep thought, the cab driver's voice would suddenly startle me. Do you want to be let out on the station gate? My journey began on the steps of a railway station, empty of either travelers and trains. Its gates were just for show, one of the many theaters of a history we'd read about in our school books. Just a name for something that had been stripped of its function, just a departure and returning point for my recurring adventures in the city center. I would disinterestedly observe the citation for a moment, then turn my back on it. To my right was the street with all the printing shops. Behind me, the area where all the stationery stores are. To my left, the bookshops and the site for booksellers, and before me, the cinemas. Before I moved to Germany, my interest in printing and publishing and collecting art books and old prints was a hobby without a name. people, in fact, saw us as some was deviant habit, mysterious and strange. After I left the country, the hobby or habit took on a name, or rather several names, that grew more and more definite over the years of my university studies. I became obsessed with collecting anything, the city's printed material, publication, notebooks, different kinds of stationery, telephone books, journals, posters and leaflets, materials, which ended up becoming the better part of my luggage back to Germany. In this city, people of similar profession and craft usually end up on the same streets or the same neighborhood. Such is the case with all the printing presses, publishing houses, and stationeries here. And the majority of the street bookstalls can be found in the same neighborhood, scattered here or there all around the station. Every day, I would look for some new bookstores I disregarded, had never visited before, slowly discovering how all the books in the city were different in weight, in make, in color, and smell, even the way in which they were organized. Each bookshop had its own special rhythm according to which the books were arranged. In some places, there was a clear harmony and artistry in the way the books were stacked on shelves or tables, while in others, they were piled heavily, sometimes on the very floor. I would leave the bookshops behind to go on to the printing house and stationers. I will never forget the way the workers of the press looked at me when I told them I lived in Germany. In their faces, I registered pride at the son of the city who was studying abroad, and pride, too, at the German printing presses, machines they owned, Original Leipzig, Original Heidelberg. Though I learned a lot about printing and publishing during my studies and work abroad, the language here was different. It was not technical, but rather full of imagery and color. Things didn't have names. They were described with specific human detail. Would you like white on yellow paper or white on blue paper? The way people dealt with paper and printing here were also different. In Germany, print material was handled with precision and care. Here, men would pick up the paper with sweaty hands, leaving its fingerprints all over it, then look over the paper sheets, which was too heavy to carry, using it to draw lines and scribbles that would never be erased by time. Here, the paper preserved all the traces of it. It had been used. I now return to my departure point. The city arisen from its nap. I turned my back anew to the station. My attention focused only and hailing a cab home. On my visit back in spring of 2011, I brought along two dear friends from Germany. I was eager to share my adventures with them as people who didn't come from this place. Do you remember, Omar? We met there, and you came with us one day to the printing house and stationery shops. But the experience this time was different. My movement through the neighborhoods with the foreigners and our visits to the bookstores and paperwares were somewhat exhausting to me. And yet, at the same time, through the eyes of my friends, I discovered places and details that had been hidden to me before. A few days before I was due to return to Germany, we stepped out of the cab as usual in front of the station. Throughout the visit, my friends had been insisting that they wanted to enter, but I'd refused, saying that I didn't, was completely uninterested in any of the city's tourist spots because I was from here. In truth, however, I didn't want to find them out how little I knew, how little information I had about the history of the place. On that day, I gave in to their fervent insistence. I will never forget stepping into the main hall. It took some moments before I could see what was around me, before my vision adjusted to the dim light. Three colors, red, yellow, and blue, that streamed down onto our faces and onto the floor through the stained glass windows. After my eyes refocused in the light, I staggered back in shock to see that the main hall, which had been a waiting room for travelers a century ago, and which now had been transformed into a bookshop. There were four huge shelves filled with books running all along the length of the hall, like pews in a cathedral. And there stood rows upon rows of books published by Ministry of Culture, from international novels to books of modern Arabic poetry to many books on health and business management. From one of the station employees, I found out that the book was, in fact, an ongoing book exposition that had been there for a number of years now. And then after I'd met you, Sami, that the expert had been been sponsored by the General Book Organization, a government institution I'd never heard of before. Perhaps when people discovered the ability to preserve text and photos digitally, we all began to feel the weight of books on our shoulders, the size and heft, and our need for shelves and bookcases huge enough to keep them in. But it seemed as though space wasn't a problem of the city, because with tech doubles on pavements, our newspapers, magazines on the backs of the trucks, and when we ran out of space, we transformed the railway station into a bookshop. As you know, this was my last visit to the city. I gave away most of the treasures I collected on my many visits there, all those printed materials, publications, and notebooks. I passed them out to the various friends when I moved house in Berlin last year. I wanted to rid myself of the memories of the city to which I had lost all ties.
صدق ولا شوف حدا يقول لي صدق حدا يقول لي ما تصدق انا عم اسال شو حقله البطاطا محطه وبكره الشنطه بظهر الشنطه يا بطاطا
سعده صاحب حقله البطاطا صدق فكره المحطه وصار يحلم بتصدير البطاطا.
The owner of the potato field was convinced by the idea of building a station and starts to dream of exporting potatoes. For the inhabitants of the village, this will trigger a lot of changes. Another person appears on stage, which believes in the idea of the station, the ticket seller, and slowly the idea becomes reality. Let's listen to how the story unfolds.
وانتبهتي ليش؟
انت كنت مضيع المحطة ولحقتني حتى تستهدي عليا لأنه ركاب ناطرين
ولك لا أنا حرامي وكنت لاحقك اسرقك
ولك لا مش حرامي كنت مفتكر حالك هيك
يا عمي أنا عم بقطع تذاكر كذب
يا حرام شو غلطان هذه أول مرة بحياتك عم تشتغل
وعارف إنه الترين مش جاي
جاي جاي انتظار خلق المحطة وشوق السفر جاب الترين
قرب الموعد والشوق اكتمل نضج بأيام الصيف صار المطر عالشبابيك واللي ناطرينه راح يرق الباب
رسالة كتبها سامي.
A letter from Sammy. The square is white and open on four sides. To the right of the stacks of new pieces, issues of Tashrin, Albert, Al-Watan, I catch a glimpse of an electric fridge and a small table red with biscuits and bright candies, red, blue, and yellow, exactly like the colors of the stained glass windows of the station. I buy myself a juice and make my way toward it. I had never once thought of going inside the station. Its front steps are empty. I will rest here a while. I don't care if loitering isn't allowed. Traffic is calm in all surrounding directions. There are very few passers-by. Perhaps travelers no longer go to the station, or perhaps they have all been rerouted to the Syrian Airlines office that's opened up across the street. The station is the life, locomotives. The station is older than the post office, older than the water company or the commerce bank. Architecturally, it seems to be out of place. It's a mix of both Andalusian and European influences. It was built at the beginning of the 20th century by a German and special architect working together. In contrast to it, all the nearby buildings seem humble and simple. Did the publisher Murat Gurt Ali send off issues of Al-Mukhabas to Al-Saliha School in Jerusalem from this very station, the newspaper he founded in 1908? state, right when the construction began. It published accounts of all the state association construction from the funds donated by Muslims in India and the lauding of the donors with honorary medals and titles to the soldiers sent to lay down the rail in the sand. Then the official inauguration of the railway on the very day that Sultan Abdul Hamid II ascended to the throne. The newspaper all reported on all the changes witnessed by the city. The population multiplied, the streets narrowed, the number of imported pilgrims increased. Maybe those presses had been transported to the city through this very station. The ones, for example, that ended up in Al-Fihad printing house, which printed notebooks and planners for government institutions, as well as envelopes of wedding invitations and commercial paraphernalia in Arabic, Turkish, and Persian. All those in the Dimash printing house that opened on the top floor of the Khan al-Shid and the Mitchell Pashak Sok, which created both paper prints and lithographs of any requirement in both Arabic and French. When the railway station opened, it became easier for journalists who arrived looking to discover the beauties of the Orient and the city that had been visited by Emperor Wilhelm II, an ally of the Sultan. Germany's name is indivisibly linked to the station, but also with the importation of printing press machines, as I learned from you, Kenan. I turned to the left, to the Orient Hotel. Here, in 1970, Ferris and her theater troupe stayed there. Did room number 9 have a view onto the station? Did Ferris lie in a room and listen to the rumble of the trains heading south? Maybe. The Rahmani brothers' inspiration for the play The Station came to them on some quiet night spent there. In the play, Ferus promises the townspeople of the train will pass through a potato field. This square here as also once a field owned by one of the city's wealthy inhabitants. In the theater play, the people end up living in the station, so not to miss the passing of the train. The station becomes reality that determines the future of the town and its people. And here, too, it is the same to the left of the station, all the homes of the aristocrats who left their stately old house in the city to come and settle here in Halboni and Muslim al-Bukhari streets, moving into the mid-rise buildings built according to the French colonial urban plan in the 1930s. Did the street listen to the rumble of the trains? Or did the rumbling of the printing houses drown it out? The street was quickly taken over by bookshops and printers, becoming the capital for the city's writers. Every time I entered one of the bookstores near the station, I'd watch the booksellers, I noticed their boredom. The way they waited for an interesting question about some rare book, for the arrival of someone looking to purchase an encyclopedia on the songs of Abarai Faraji al-Ifrani, and thus free the space taken up by the mammoth series of the shop windows. I knew some of them were just counting the days when certain magazines or newspapers would disappear from their stands, issues decades old that no one, save some few and archive collectors, would ever take a second look. Some of the booksellers refused to accept anything but foreign currency in exchange for the sale of some rare archival material they'd agreed to have smuggled off to important research institution or center. Often the voice of bookseller would call out, no paging, no choosing, you buy by the bundle. One day the sentence forced me to take home a whole stack of back issues of the Syrian Jundi Journal, a magazine of soldiers published by the military institutes, just because I was looking for a review of the station, which had been playing at one of the city theaters. The surprise was finding a statutory report on the Hejaz station in one of the issues of 1964. Everything to do with the station, I still preserve in memory, from the history of the surrounding square and its nearby buildings to the surrounding bustle of university students, passers-by, and tourists all rushing to and fro. I visited the city for the last day in summer of 2014. Our conversations about the publishing archives and the bookshops were constantly in my head. I ran my usual errands. I left from the old system, going past the Palace of Justice. The station step didn't beckon to me. I wasn't tempted to sit down and think a while. My link to it had been drawn only by my near daily visits when I was still a student during my years of work as I went off in search of an archive. Only Mufafta Square across the station had lost one of its landmarks, the old Musi record store. The recording you're listening to now, The Station, the play whose plot I described earlier, is from a record I bought from that store. One day, the owner decided to sell off his entire collection of rare records and start a new life somewhere far away.
بدنا تذاكر بدنا تذاكر صار له زمان الناطر ناطر
محطة جديدة إلنا حل المشوار مدن بعيدة ورحلة سعيدة ولنا بالعالم دار بدنا تذاكر بدنا تذاكر صرنا زمان ناطر ناطر
صارت المحطة حقيقة ملموسة بكل مصدر
The station has become a reality in any respect. On the stage, you see the ticket stall, a bench for those who are waiting, and a big sign with Northern Station. The history of the station has changed a couple of things. The prices for land has risen. There are now stock listed. And in the neighborhood, a hotel and a restaurant were built. And Bader is waiting with the other people on the station for the train to arrive. Time is passing by, but no train is coming. What does all this waiting lead to? Leads to?
صبروا كمان شوي صبروا كمان شوي
عتم الليل برد الناس تجر الحكي ما وصل حدا
صبروا كمان شوي صبروا كمان شوي
مضية الشهور مضية السنين نحن الناطرين وما وصل حدا
رح يوصل رح يوصل روحه روحه رح يوصل
رجعت الغيمي هجر الطير طلع الموسم قطف الكر
مدري كم مرة رح نحط طبيب مدري كم مرة كبروا الحساسين
عمروا اوتيل فتحوا مطعم نحن
مرتي خلفت جابت بنت سميناها محطة نحن وناطرين
نحن تعرفنا حبينا وخطبنا ويمكن رح نتجوز نحن وناطرين
راحت الشمس رجعت العين دمت الغنية وخمسة الأعداد نحن وناطرين
مين اللي وعدنا مين اللي نطرنا مثل العشب البري
نجو نجو لا يسمع المسؤول
وينو ما بنشوفه أولك هو مش حدا لاش ما يمدي لاش
رسالة أخيرة كتبتها لسامي وكينا
A final letter which I wrote to Sami I believe I only ever visited the station twice, the first time many years ago and the second on my last trip to the city in July 2017. The ideas and questions we discussed in Berlin about our relation to it kept multiplying over the course of that trip. I know the neighborhood surrounding the station relatively well. Usually in the evenings on my way back from university to the old cities where I lived, I would pass by the station and stop to contemplate it while it was on the buildings on my route that never failed to draw my attention. At night, the pavements were quiet as opposed to how they were during the day when people bustle to and fro in front of the building, whether off to work or off to pick something from the congested market or run some bureaucratic errand or buy a book or to visit a bookstore or a printing house or publishing house, as the two of you used to do. As for me, I kept returning to the area only for the purpose of purchasing colors, papers, and stationery, and sometimes to look at the covers of the magazine at the leaflets scattered on the pavement of Falboni Street. The railway station sits on a small hill. It is visible from afar, from Victoria Bridge. At night, it was calm. The entire facade lit up, but for the steps that led up to the entrance. That hidden darkness usually discouraged me from taking a seat there to wait for a friend or watch the street or read a book. To the left of the steps, there is an old green locomotive that no longer runs, placed there like some sort of neglected art installation. Later, I would encounter some photos of it in a 2005 university study documenting the Hedges railway line as locomotive scheduled the train into their destinations. For me, the railway station was just an image or a flat surface. probably because I only ever saw its facade. In my mind, it was just a postcard, no more, no less. Despite its distinct architecture, it always seemed marginal, unless to me or to anyone in the city, like a historic age that simply demarked some sort of arrival point or end. Its facade served to conceal some unknown, imperceptible border at which you could neither arrive or enter. Spurred on by the memory of our last conversations in Berlin about the surrounding neighborhood, its publishing houses, its issues of religion, its children with books, about its bookstores, stationery stores, and printing houses, and remembering what you told me about the bookshop that had been set up inside a railway station some years ago, I decided to visit it anew. On my way on the Victoria Bridge that overlooks the station hill, I felt like a child or a foreign tourist or like some Orientalist researcher, someone who had heard the story of the train, of the tracks of the books and bookstops and publishing and printing houses from one of his friends. As I hurried on towards my goal, there was no escaping a visit to the Newry bookshop located on the street that led to the station. The three of us have visited it many times over the years. Every time I had a question about the station, I would return to the stop and ask it of the bookseller. But what was the purpose of my question that day? While there, my chance, I found these two books and decided I would get them as gifts for you. The first was an erotic romance by Jules Sandan, and without the year of publishing. And the second was Metro Tunnel by Saleh Salem, published by Dar al-Salem in 1987. It becomes a story of the construction of the Cairo metro system, metro and train, the train and the metro. I asked the owner of the Nuri bookstore the same question I posed to the owners of the Hillel bookstore, the Razi bookstore, and the Rabbic literature of heritage art. What do you know about railway station? Why is the bookstore located so close to it? The answer was always the same. Nothing. No relation. When I got to the entrance of the railway station, I took a few deep breaths. The question I had about the reason why all these bookshops and publishing houses and stationery stores related to it in the neighborhood around the station were becoming as numerous as the questions I had around the trains and travelers that no one had ever seen, not me, not the booksellers, not the publishers, not the stationaries. I wanted to see the bookshop inside the station that you told me about, Ken, the cathedral, as you called it, the stained glass windows filled to the sunlight so the sculptures of the books and readers alike with color. I simply wished to see the books, to judge them. I imagined that all three of us were here ascending the front step of to the strains of the music of the opening credits of the first film, Safar Balik, which spooled endlessly through my mind like a cinema reel. And though my own journey to the city that day was like the journey of the soldiers who were sent to the Ottoman government by the Ottoman government during the First World War from this city to the Balkans, the mood stopped when we entered the stain. The calm we'd encountered during our various visits, the calm of all spoke about later, still hung in space of the station, divided it from the noise of the outer third, the stained glass window still cast the blue, orange, pink light on the ground, but this time there were no books, no readers. It had become a waiting room, nearly empty, but for the voice of three employees and two soldiers. At one end, there was a miniature museum with some few puppets and artifacts. At another end, there was a blueprint of the station, the way it once looked, and in one of the corners, a giant poster depicting the new modern plan for the station, which has never seen the light of the day. Next to the old ticket window that sold the first and second class tickets, they placed a dummy representation, the ticket seller. He sat behind a desk, smiling widely. Before him on the table, there was a ticket that read a small card box. Behind him, they had fixed an old rail schedule dating back to 1924 beneath the title of Red Palestine Railways. To his right, that left behind some old signs in German. Sechs Maschinenfabrik von Richard Hartmann, Aktiengesellschaft Chemnitz, 1918. The shelves that once stood in the middle of the huge hall had disappeared along with the books they once held. I was told that the bookshop had shut down a year ago and all its contents gotten rid of. I went to the station administrators for an explanation on why the shop had been shut down. I received no answers. On the staircases leads to the corridors of the upper floor, the only other level in the station. They had hung many, many photographs of all different trains that once set out from here carrying passengers to various destinations. The photos, there are neither names nor dates nor places nor station. I look for a reference when trains left or arrived. Some photos scorched by the sun, heat day after day, and they had been bleached almost entirely of color. They had turned white, the images on the verge of the erasure, their trains and places disappearing. The only trace I managed to find were the markings of the old tracks in the dirt outside. Spying them from the stained glass windows of the upper floor, the ones that overlooked a rail yard more akin to an oasis overgrown with trees and cut through by dirt lines, ran onto the horizon. Perhaps they led to Palestine, as testified to one by the railway schedule that hung behind the dummy in the waiting hall. During all my time living in the city, the station had never surpassed the confines of its two-dimensional image. It was the same which the bookshop that had disappeared, perhaps loaded onto a train car, moved somewhere else. It was no more than a picture. You'd shown me once in Berlin on a computer, a photo whose details had come into focus through the non-answers I'd received from the owner of the Newry bookshop, from the owners of the bookshops nearby, from the employees at the station, and from the blank smile of the ticket seller dummy.
الانتظار الطويل بسبب حالة تعب.
The dwellers of the village get tired of waiting, and the travelers divide themselves into two groups. One who continue to dream that the train will arrive and they will start with their journey. They continue to wait. The others decided to let the station die. And at the end of the play, and to the surprise of the audience, the train actually arrives. You can hear it arriving. And those who bought a ticket start their journey. So please now listen to the end of the piece.
حدا يعطيني ورقة